This is the last week of the Indiana legislature. They got a whole lot of mess down here, including if you need health care, your Indiana legislature doesn't want to give you health care. If you want to expand Medicaid, our Indiana legislature doesn't want to do that. Our Indiana legislature has, even though the unemployment rate is stagnant at 8.7% in Indiana, our Indiana legislature doesn't want to do anything about giving people jobs. And if that's not enough, our Indiana legislature wants to punish Gary and punish Indianapolis. You know why? Because there's Democrats there. Scott Piloff is the House Minority Leader of Democrats, and he's on our live line as the House gets ready to convene on the final week of the legislature. Scott, how you doing?
Amos, how you doing? Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you. Let's first go to health care. We've got a state that we've had Republican states that said, we'll take the Fed's money for 2 or 3 years
yep.
and try to expand health care. There have been other states, Republican states, that said, well, we don't want to do it. We'll stand on principle. But here we are trying to do something the Feds have already said we're not doing. What's going on?
Oh, it's just unbelievable, Amos. It's an understatement to say that we're missing an opportunity to make Indiana better. But you seem to have some Republican leaders that are just, I don't know if they're caught up in national politics or they're caught up in right-wing ideology, but it seems like just because the president passed the Affordable Care Act, they're wanting to do whatever they can to thwart it and prevent Hoosiers from benefiting from the taxes that they're already sending to Washington to pay for this stuff. And we've got to fight, and we've got to rattle the cages, and we've got to make sure that no matter what gets done, we have 400,000 uninsured Hoosiers that don't have to be told that they got to go to the emergency room instead of the doctor.
We also, and while our Healthy Indiana plan, the HIP plan, has been a great plan, supported on a bipartisan basis, there are people that are still on the waiting list on that plan. I guess less than 50,000 people are covered. So there's really questions whether the HIP plan could even cover growing by 9 times that amount.
Well, look, HIP was fine when it was created.
Mm-hmm.
I supported it. I'm looking at my friend Charlie Brown right now. He supported it. It was bipartisan. It was a good idea and the right thing to do to use cigarette tax revenues to allow people to purchase private insurance. But let's be honest, it never came close to insuring the number of people that was anticipated. And now they want to take something that hasn't worked very well, go to Washington and say, look, we're kind of stubborn. We don't want to talk nice about the president. Can you let us do this HIP program expansion? To which we've always said, okay, fine, if that works and it insures people, we're with you. But if they tell you no, which they probably will, can we maybe expand health care the way that we should? So we create 30,000 private sector jobs, and we keep people out of the emergency room, and we have a sane health care system, and we help people get into the middle class that are trying to get there. It's unconscionable what they're doing, Amos, just to say no, 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 no. And they're going to tell faces come October that there's going to be no health care options for them after they already paid the taxes for it. It's wrong.
We're with Scott Piloff. He is the House Minority Leader. And we've got a number of places like Kokomo, Elkhart is coming back, where jobs are coming into parts of Indiana, where Hoosiers are going back to work. And we've got the national unemployment rate slowly going down. It is going down in other states. But in Indiana, our unemployment rate has stayed shockingly high, 8.7% the last mm-hmm. couple of months. We're supposed to be a right-to-work state. And a year ago, everybody was saying, if we're a right-to-work state, jobs will just flow like water from heaven. And here in Indianapolis, unemployment rate is stagnant at 9.2%, flat from the previous month. You guys have been talking about and offering up plans to put Hoosiers back to work. Your Republican colleagues are kind of saying, are we going to get anything out of this legislature that's going to put folks back to work?
Well, let's remember that some of it put folks back to work now would be expansion of our health care system.
Mm-hmm.
That's 30,000 private sector jobs. That's not my number. That's the Indiana Hospital Association's number. And they don't want to do that. Anything we've offered up, they don't want to do anything with it. But here's the biggest thing, Amos. They have the wrong economic philosophy. And the people are starting to realize it. Their economic philosophy and their path to prosperity always is get money and power in the hands of the right people, and they'll do nice things for the rest of us. And our economic philosophy has always been that the key to prosperity is to make sure that people are earning fair wages and able to spend their wallets at places that will create jobs for other people. They don't get it. I don't know if they don't get it or don't want to get it, but we need a shift in focus. I think Democrats are doing a good job providing alternatives. The next step is that the people can weigh in with the Republicans and tell them to change course, because they just they have an economic philosophy that went out with the Gilded Age. These are modern times, and we need to empower the middle class and people trying to get into the middle class. If we do that, we'll have prosperity again here.
I understand that in the budget that's floating around, and obviously there's part of the House budget that differs from the Senate budget, but it seems that both sides of the budget in this Republican supermajority are going to reduce the amount of money per pupil that big city urban school districts get, while increasing the amount of money that suburban schools get. And I think our rural schools are going to get, you know, caught holding the bag again. Is that a correct interpretation of what these Republicans are going to do with education funding?
Amos, unfortunately, you said it better than I was going to say it. Once again, the urban schools take it on the chin. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's where most of the kids in the state are. The school corporation I represent, Michigan City Area Schools, Urban School Corporation, same situation. IPS getting hammered again. Mm-hmm. Northwest Indiana Schools getting hammered again. And it just it fits in with their overall approach to things is just getting the resources to the haves and hoping that'll help the have-nots. And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense in terms of creating jobs. It doesn't make any sense with education. And there's going to be clear contrasts that are going to be drawn with this budget. The only question is, can the people of Indiana survive it as those contrasts are being drawn? And we're going to have to fight through it so we can build a new governing coalition here in Indiana.
Also, as I understand it, we are going to, you know, rewrite the criminal laws and provide lesser penalties for nonviolent offenses, tougher penalties for the violent offenses, try to free up space in our state prisons for nonviolent offenders, figure out more creative ways of punishment because we can't afford to build another prison. Is that one of the few things that's going to move through on a bipartisan basis? I know the governor wants to crack down on marijuana.
Right. Well, you know what? There has been bipartisan support for sentencing reform. And you know what? It makes sense to do that every so often because social values change, mores change, and you always have to recalibrate your criminal code because if you don't, the taxpayers can't afford it.
Right.
I mean, it's very expensive to lock everyone up and throw away the key. But you know what? It's always easy to become holier than thou on something and say that you shouldn't give an inch on sentencing. I hope the governor comes to his senses a little bit, because I think what he's going to learn is that he's the one responsible for the state finances, and if his priority is just to keep everyone locked up, he's not going to have the resource available to do the other things that people want done.
Mass transit here in central Indiana became a divisive issue in the legislature. It looks like the legislature is going to say, gee, let's study mass transit for another year. Given that the legislature in its wisdom says, let's study mass transit in central Indiana for another year, let's study government reform in Allen County for another year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two government reform things. One that kind of snuck up on me that's happening up in Lake County,
right,
where Republicans are trying to ram it through. We know about the one in Marion County. Tell me a little bit about this one in Lake County, because that kind of took me by surprise this morning.
Well, by the way, obviously the Marion County power grab is easily the worst bill of the session, but I have to tell you what, the Lake County bill that you're referencing comes in a very close second. And basically what that would allow is the town of Griffith to secede from Calumet Township, which includes the city of Gary.
Okay.
Now, it's not a secret that there's a lot, you know, there's a lot, Gary's been hurting, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of folks that need help, and they rely on those services. And to me, it's unconscionable just to say, hey, look, let's go into a township and let's wall off the poor people from the people that are doing a little bit better. Because you know what, Amos? You could do that in every township in Indiana. And it's wrong to do it once.
So wait a minute. Griffin wants to change townships. They want to leave Calumet Township and go to another township.
That is correct.
And as I understood it, if two-thirds of the people of Griffin voted for this, they would be allowed to do it.
That is correct. And it's troubling. Okay, first of all, it's troubling just by itself. Mm-hmm. Because that's just, look, we are a society here. And so it means that we have to take care of each other, and it means people are hurting, and we have resources set aside in our society, so we do make sure that people are able to meet their very basic needs.
Right.
And that's true everywhere, but the whole principle that you simply go and redraw township lines because people want to disassociate themselves from another group of people, that's wrong to do once, and now what I fear is that, all right, it's Calumet Township today. Which township is it going to be tomorrow? Because there could be no end to it. And then what you have is a society where you've walled off the haves from the have-nots. And where are you then?
So this means that, you know, the city of Lawrence could decide to secede from Lawrence Township here in Indianapolis, or our friendly little folks at Speedway could decide to secede from Wayne Township.
That's exactly. And then where are you then? And then you know what you finally wind up with? You finally wind up with people getting poorer and poorer and poorer, not being able to get any assistance at all. And you know what? I think, yes, most people, that's not the kind of state they want to live in.
In terms of 621, the heinous, venal, ridiculous plan to make our cricket-loving emperor, mayor, you know, emperor for whatever, Democrats seem to have been united against that legislation when it went through the House the last time. And when I looked at the vote totals, if six Republicans had switched, it wouldn't have gotten the necessary 50%. Any chance that six or seven Republicans might see, wait a minute, this is not giving local communities the authority to determine their lives?
Right. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of Republicans who are very uncomfortable with that legislation. Look, you and I know how terrible it is. I mean, it's making the second most powerful official in Indiana after the governor. And that's dangerous in and of itself. But there's enough Republicans who realize that, and they also realize that, and let's just be honest, they don't like being pawns in Mike Young's political games, which is what they're being asked to do. There's some resentment there, and I think if Senator Young keeps it up, he's probably going to he runs the chance of turning off enough Republicans just by himself that we still may have an outside shot of beating that thing.
There's
if it comes around for a vote.
There's also some constitutional issues. Last week, the Sheriff's Association, which doesn't represent just Democratic sheriffs, they represent Democratic and Republican sheriffs, raise the constitutional issue that an unelected city official cannot tell a constitutional state office holder, a county office holder, what to do with their budget.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what the goal is, because this city administration wants to subjugate everyone to their control. And when they subjugate them, it enhances their power and it enhances their ability to do the things that they think they need to be able to do to stay in power. It's a dangerous thing, and it has to be stopped. And I hope enough Republicans realize that, along with the United Democrats, that just like with the Calumet Township situation that we were talking about earlier, it could be somebody else tomorrow, and they may not like who it is.
The legislature will either end Friday or Monday. And then at that point, you know, the governor's going to go out and barnstorm the state, which is what governors usually do after the session ends. Will Democrats in the House and the Senate, will you guys start to barnstorm the state after the session is over, telling Hoosiers what really happened?
You can count on it. We're going to be giving grades. We're going to be doing the after-action reviews. And we're going to fulfill our responsibility to let the people of Indiana know how the governor and these supermajorities did. And I don't think they're going to like a whole lot of what they've heard. And we will be fulfilling our obligation as the minority party to make sure that the people of Indiana understand the contrasts and the alternatives, because that's the only way we have a real choice in this state.
Oh, speaking of that, you mentioned 621 and you mentioned putting too much power in the hands of one person, whether they're a Democratic mayor or a Republican mayor. Indianapolis Business Journal today is reporting that Republican members of the City County Council are raising their eyebrows about finding out that we're spending $6 million in tax money to build a cricket field, a rugby field, and some other fields in our city while the mayor was over in India bragging about cricket. We don't have enough cops on the street. This is another example of what you're talking about. 620. Y'all may take this clip from IBJ.com and start spreading that around on the floor this afternoon.
Well, listen, it just underscores we have separation of powers for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reason as old as the Republic, and it's the best thing about the nation we live in. We don't anoint dictators, particularly when it comes to the public resources. And there's going to be members of that city county council, I think, are going to have a deepened awareness of really what it is that they're doing with investing so much in just one person.
All right, Scott Pelau, is this thing going to finish on Friday, or
it's looking like Friday, and you can bet your boots if we go till Monday, they'll find a way to blame us.
On this thing about, giving money to Speedway, I'm so confused about what the proposal is. Where do Democrats stand on that?
Oh, it's all over the map. I mean, I think in Indianapolis, people understand the importance of the Motor Speedway to the overall community, and it is an industry here in Indiana that deserves respect. But you got to remember too, the middle class and putting them first is our top priority, and we have to look at everything within the vein of how we're advancing that goal.
Oh, and somebody just reminded me that Gary's 85% African American, Griffin is 76% white. Oh, that couldn't be the reason that Griffin would want to secede from. Somebody tried seceding once, and that didn't work too well.
We'll let inquiring minds make determinations about that.
Scott Pelau, state representative, the pride of Michigan City. He is the House Minority Leader. And what are y'all doing today? I thought there was nothing to do except these you're in session, the House?
Yeah, we're getting ready to go in about 15 minutes, and the Republicans will go to caucus and go fight with each other. And we will we probably go to caucus, too, for a little while and figure out how we're going to help them resolve their own disputes.
I tell you what, while you're in caucus, tell some of my black caucus members to give us a call and kind of update us on 621 and the situation up in Lake County. They can use the same secret number you used.
I will do that. As a matter of fact, our good friend Greg Porter just walked to my office here, and he will be doing it.
All right. Well, tell him to call about after the caucusing starts.
I will tell him as soon as I hang up with you.
All righty. Thank you, Scott Pelau.
Thanks, Amos.